Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I talk about homesteading, prepping, and everything in between. And today I want to talk about something that has completely transformed the health of my pets, and that is feeding them a raw diet. If you've ever wondered about raw feeding, why it's beneficial, and how to feed your own pets raw food, then this episode is definitely for you. Whenever I post me grinding up meat into pouches for my dogs, or videos of me handing them a beef heart or a massive bone, I am met with so many questions of how to feed your pets raw. I love the subject and am happy it is becoming more popular because I think our pets deserve better than kibble. Specifically, I will be sharing my experience using the BARF model, B-A-R-F. It is a funny name, but it stands for biologically appropriate raw food. I'll also give you tips on making the transition smooth and addressing some of the concerns people typically have about raw feeding. Again, I often post about my dog's raw diet. Just today, I went out to the chicken coop and found some frozen eggs and shared how they are now puppy popsicles and how I gave them to my dogs and they love them. I would like to note that I am speaking from my own experience with my dogs, so I am well-rounded when it comes to feeding dogs raw. When it comes to cats, it can be similar, but because they are obligate carnivores, cats are, they require more meat than plant matter and other supplement types. So keep that in mind. If you have a cat, you will have to do your own research. It's similar, but there are other things. And I do not have cats, so I'm not well versed in that area. So let's dive in. Starting with kibble, I used to think kibble was the best option for my pets. After all, that's what the pet food industry tells us, right? And that's what all of our friends and family are feeding their pets. I grew up feeding our family cat kibble, and I remember when he passed away, his teeth were rotted, and we had never known. And if only I knew what I know now, I would have never have fed them kibble because the kibble definitely contributed to that, which is really sad to think about. But now I know better, and so I'm doing better. And what helped me break it down and see that kibble is mostly big system, big food trash, I had to evaluate and see the evil within our own food system, because the more I learned about processed foods and how devious our own food system is, the more I realized the same applies to our pets and the pet food system. One of the biggest reasons why feeding raw is not mainstream is because the veterinarian industry is heavily influenced by big pet food corporations. So companies like Purina, Hill Science Diet, Royal Canine, they fund veterinary schools. They provide free or discounted pet food to vet clinics, and many vets are trained with textbooks sponsored by these brands. So in turn, they push these products onto pet owners. I know the last time I was in a vet, they had the Hill Science Diet, like tons of stuff from them for the people to buy when they came in. So it's no coincidence that these same brands create prescription diets that quote unquote manage diseases often caused by the kibble in the first place. So the more processed food pets consume, the more health problems they develop, leading to expensive vet visits and lifelong medications. Does this sound familiar? So the more processed food that we consume, the more health problems we develop, leading to expensive doctor visits and lifelong medications. Wow, these two systems absolutely mirror each other, including medical schools being paid off and sponsored by Big Pharma. But vets warn against raw feeding because it threatens this profit model. It's a huge profit model. So raw fed pets have fewer chronic diseases, they require fewer medications, and live longer, healthier lives. And the history of kibble is a dark one. It's tied to profit-driven motives rather than pet health. So kibble became popular in the mid-20th century when pet food companies realized they could use cheap waste products products from the human food industry, so corn, soy, and rendered meat byproducts, to create an inexpensive pet food option. So instead of providing pets with real whole foods, they process these leftovers into high carb, highly processed pellets that lack real nutrition. So many of the ingredients in kibble are linked to chronic health problems in pets. So artificial preservatives like BHA and BHT are known carcinogens. Synthetic vitamins are added to compensate for the lack of real nutrients, but they aren't as bioavailable as natural sources. The high carb content leads to obesity, diabetes, and inflammation. So many brands also use poor quality protein sources, including diseased or euthanized animals that are rendered into pet food. There have been countless recalls due to contamination with mold toxins, salmonella, and even pentobarbital, a drug used for euthanasia. So think about it. No wild canine or feline is out in the forest munching on dry pellets filled with artificial ingredients and preservatives. They thrive on fresh, raw meat, bones, and organs, and that's exactly what they are biologically meant to eat. And once I switched my pets to a raw diet, the results spoke for themselves. Their coats became shinier, softer, they had more energy, and their digestion improved significantly. One of the biggest benefits I noticed was how much healthier their teeth and gums became. When pets eat kibble, there's this myth that it cleans their teeth, but that is not true at all. Kibble is loaded with starches and sugars that actually contribute to plaque buildup and eventually rotting, like my childhood cat, who their teeth just rotted out. But when my pets chew on raw meaty bones, it naturally scrapes the tartar off and keeps their teeth in great shape. Mouths are a biome, just like our gut. And if you have it out of whack with junk food, we face the consequences. And if you think about it, who benefits from pets having poor teeth and dental health? The vets. You sign your dog up for a yearly teeth cleaning and you pay the price, literally. Guess who has never had to do that? Me, because of the raw diet. Plus, raw food is easier to digest without fillers, grains, and artificial additives. Their bodies process the food efficiently, which means fewer stomach issues and smaller, firmer stools. And let's be honest, picking up after them is a whole lot easier when their digestion is in check. I thought this was silly at first, but it really is true. So now let's talk about the BARF model, which is how I feed my pets. This diet is all about balance, making sure they get everything they need from natural sources. I focus on giving them a variety of raw meats, bones, organs, and some plant matter. So muscle meat is the foundation, so think 70% of what they're eating. It provides the protein and nutrients they need for strong muscles and overall health. Raw meaty bones are essential and account for roughly 10% of the BARF model because they're not just a source of calcium, but they also keep their teeth clean, like we were just discussing. Organs like liver, kidney, and spleen are packed with vitamins and minerals that kibble just can't match, no matter how hard they try, which is another 10% of the BARF diet, roughly. And while dogs don't necessarily need a ton of plant matter, a little bit of veggies like carrots, spinach, and pumpkin can add fiber and extra nutrients, along with fruits like apples, blueberries, raspberries, and other fruit, which is roughly 5%. Then the last 5% of the diet are things like kefir, which offers probiotics to their gut, eggs, fish oil, or whatever you find suitable to provide as supplements in their diet. And also when it comes to vegetables and fruits, I give these freely to my dogs. And if they want them, they will eat them. If not, they don't. Like sometimes my dogs will enjoy berries off of the bushes. I have one dog who will eat an entire apple because they feel like they need to, and other times they won't. Now, if you're thinking about making the switch, you might be wondering, how do I even start? Do I just throw them a raw chicken drumstick and hope for the best? Well, you could, honestly, you could just toss them the drumstick, but just make sure it's pasture raised, you know, grass fed. And there are a couple of ways to transition your pets to a raw diet. So some people prefer a gradual transition, mixing raw food with kibble and slowly increasing the raw portion over time. Others go cold turkey, switching completely in one go. It really depends on your pet's digestive system and how well they handle dietary changes. I personally did a mix of both, introducing raw meals while still offering small amounts of kibble initially just to see how my pets reacted. They were pretty much ready to switch and didn't want kibble after a while. You can also follow the directions on whatever raw diet you are following because there are formulations that you can get at pet food stores that are frozen patties, or they are chunks of combined meat and different ingredients. So you can follow the instructions that you are given for whatever you are doing, or if you're doing the barf model like I do, however your pet reacts, you just keep an eye on them and work with them. And one thing I always recommend is starting with a single protein source. So chicken is a great first option because it's easy to digest and widely available. After a couple of weeks, you can introduce new proteins like beef, turkey, or lamb. Introducing organs gradually is also key because they are so nutrient dense. Too much at once can cause loose stools, and nobody wants that mess. You don't want your pet feeling sick. We want to support our animal's digestive system, so finding the right balance of meat, bones, and organs is a learning process, but once you get into a routine, it becomes second nature. And like I suggested, there are already pre-made formulations that you can get at health pet food stores that I think are really great. Steve's is one. I'm not sponsored by them, but they're patties or nuggets, and they tell you how to transition your pet. They tell you how much to feed based on activity and weight. There is another one, and it comes in a carton, and it's, you know, pasture raised, grass fed, all that goodness kind of meat already pre-formulated for you. I know there's also a dehydrated, like freeze dried one where you just add water to. So you have options, and keep in mind the ones that are already pre-formulated are going to be more spendy. But some people worry about their pets getting all the necessary nutrients from raw food, and that's why variety is so important. In the wild, animals don't eat just one type of meat generally. They consume a whole range of prey, which provides them with a complete nutrient profile. When feeding raw at home, mimicking this variety ensures your pet gets everything they need. Fish, for example, is a great addition to provide omega-3 fatty acids, which supports brain function. It reduces inflammation and promotes that shiny coat that we love. If you're feeding a lot of poultry, adding beef liver or kidney can round out the mineral and vitamin content. It's all about balance over time, not necessarily in every single meal. So it doesn't have to be stressful or overwhelming. There are a lot of misconceptions about raw feeding, so let's clear some of those up. One of the biggest myths I hear is that raw meat is dangerous because of bacteria. But here's the thing. Dogs and cats have highly acidic stomachs designed to handle bacteria that would make us sick. Their digestive systems are built for processing raw food efficiently, and as long as you're sourcing quality meat and handling it properly, there is nothing to worry about. Another concern is bones. People often think that feeding bones is dangerous because they could splinter. The truth is, cooked bones are the real danger because they become brittle and sharp. Raw bones, on the other hand, are soft and digestible. My pets have been eating them for years without any issues, and their teeth are in fantastic shape because of it. So do not give cooked bones to your pets. Also, I know there's a fear bubbling because of bird flu. One person commented on my post saying they're now cooking the meat for their pets because they're scared of bird flu. I sighed a bit because this is TV propaganda, guys, and I couldn't believe it filtered all the way to changing how a pet is fed. Like, if you didn't watch the TV, you know, the little brainwash black box, you wouldn't even be doing that. You wouldn't even like be changing your life. It's such a big brainwashing thing. I've also heard people say that raw feeding is expensive, and I get it. Quality meat costs more than a bag of kibble, but here's the thing. When you invest in real food, you save money on vet bills down the road. Pets on a raw diet tend to be healthier overall, which means fewer visits to the vet, fewer medications, and a longer, happier life. Plus, there are ways to make raw feeding affordable. Buying in bulk, sourcing from local farmers, and even meal prepping can help cut costs. It's all about finding what works for you and your budget. And here's the biggest raw food hack. Get in contact with your butchers. When they butcher an animal, if the person doesn't ask for the scraps, the butcher will either toss them or resell them. I get scraps like meat, trim, bones, and organs for 80 cents a pound, and I ask permission to dumpster dive when I get a lot of goods as well. I want to touch on the importance of sourcing high-quality ingredients. Not all meats are created equal, and if you're feeding raw, you want to make sure you're giving your pets the best. Whenever possible, I go for pasture-raised and grass-fed meats. They have better nutrient profiles and fewer toxins compared to factory-farmed options. I never buy grocery store meat or organs. If you can, like I said, look for local farmers or butchers who offer pet-friendly cuts at a lower price. Sometimes they'll have organ meats or bones available for a fraction of the cost or free. Like I mentioned, if you dumpster dive, just make sure to ask for permission. And one final tip. Keep an eye on how your pet responds. If they're thriving, have great energy, a healthy coat, and firm stools, you will know you are on the right track. But if you notice any digestive upset, itching, or sluggishness, it might mean you need to tweak their diet. Maybe they need a different protein source, or maybe they're sensitive to something you're including. I have one dog who is sensitive to garlic, and I know that because they get hot spots when they consume it, so their skin will get oozing patches of sores, but with no garlic in the diet, they are A-okay. So if I remove it, their skin goes back to normal. Now, if I take them to the vet for these sores, these hot spots, they are given antibiotics, shaved in the spot, and treated painfully, not in a nice manner. So it's interesting to understand the process and see how much diet plays a role in our pet's overall health. But we are never taught that really, just like we aren't taught about the power of our diet. They can't speak to us directly, but health ailments that present themselves can. You might be wondering why I give garlic. I give garlic mixed with brewer's yeast in the spring, summer, and fall to help prevent ticks or fleas or any creepy crawlies. This mixture makes their scent not tolerable for parasites like that. Also, another thing is fleas and all these kinds of treatments that you would normally get at the vet. A big ick if you look into the side effects of those. I absolutely will not give my dogs any sort of flea medications, creepy crawly medications. Just, I'm a big no on any kind of medications. Just look at the side effects for the animals. It's absolutely horrendous. Again, when you start to balance diet with your pets, you will see how little vet intervention they actually need. But this is solely my experience. Every pet is different. So it's all about finding what works best for them and you. No judgment from me, as you have to do what you have to do. But thank you so much for sticking around. I hope that all of this information has been so helpful in giving you a solid understanding of raw feeding and why it is an amazing choice for your pets and how it doesn't have to be overwhelming. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, keep things natural and give your pets the best. Have an amazing day. I'll see you next time.